Welcome back, folks. This is episode 2 of the Cricket Stats Scholar podcast with your host, Cricket Stats Scholar, aka Dane, and indeed Guy Walker. Welcome back, Guy.
Thank you. Thanks, Dane. Looking forward to this episode, mate.
Indeed. So we dealt with the rise of Cameron Green in the last episode, and this time we shine the spotlight on another blazing young talent, Will Pukowski.
Yep, he's pretty similar, isn't it, really? Both 21, 22 years of age, both absolutely set the state comp absolutely alight for not just one season now, though, for many of seasons. So, yeah, it'd be good to get into conversation about this one and see where we think he's heading in the first test.
Absolutely, mate. And you touched on two things that I think are important. So, 22 years... 311 days old today, so yeah, turns 23 on the 2nd of Feb next year. So very young man, and but further to that, he has 23 first class matches under his belt, most of them in Shield, and this is the figure: 1744 career runs at 54.5 with 6 centuries.
Not well, is it? Like, that is just ridiculous. Again, ridiculous. And we'll get into it again, but some of the hundreds that he has scored is been ridiculous. And that 23 first class matches would obviously be a lot more if it wasn't, unfortunately, for his concussions. And unfortunately, Will suffered so many lately in the years and just had another mild one as of 2 days ago. So just can't catch a break at the moment, the big fella.
It is. It's horrendous that such a consistent thing keeps cropping up for such a good young man. And indeed, his debut match back in 2017 against New South Wales was marred by his inability to bat in the second innings due to a concussion incurred whilst fielding. So it's just something that finds its way to him at the moment.
And that's a thing. And the thing with concussion as well is it's such a grey area still and people don't understand about it because, like, I think I spent probably 5 or 6 years in the Victorian setup with Will, and people think that, oh, you must get nailed in the head to get concussion and stuff. But Will, it was getting that serious for Will that it was just innocuous things, like he might have hit his head against the ground, or a ball might have skimmed his head at training, or a ball might have accidentally just skimmed his head in fielding and stuff like that. And he wouldn't be out for like a couple of weeks. It was like, I remember one time after he had a really bad concussion, and I sat down for a coffee with him, and he literally said, I said, "What did you do during the 3 months?" And he goes, "Mate, it's not like I go to a cafe, I play PS4. He goes, "That's what people think I do." He's like, "I have migraines most days. I have to sit in a dark room for most days and do nothing." And that's how serious it gets for him. So it's such a horrible thing. And I don't think people probably know enough about it. And even science doesn't know enough about it. So it's probably nearly getting to the stage of his career now. He's like, if he has a couple of more, what does he do?
Yeah, it's which would be just an absolute tragedy for... Yeah. For Will and indeed the game of cricket, but much more for Will and his health. I suppose on to brighter things. Geez, he lit it up this season.
Oh, didn't he just?
Ridiculous so far. All right, let's just have a quick gander. So, 2 Shield matches, 495 runs at an average of 247.5 and a strike rate of just under 60, with back-to-back double hundreds.
It just doesn't seem right, does it? Like, back-to-back hundreds is what most batters go for, but to get back-to-back 200s, like, and that's the other thing as well, is people, like, if you look at the actual bowling attacks he faced, like, they were still very, very good. Like,
oh, for sure.
Incredible.
And I suppose what's also ridiculous, but in a good way, is, an opportunity opened up and he stuck his hand up, 255 not out in his first innings as an opening batsman for Sheffield Shield.
That's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's ridiculous. Like, So he's well, let's have a look at the lineup. He's facing Chad Sayers, who's played Test cricket, Dan Worrell, who's played ODI cricket, Wes Agar, who bowls wheels and won Young Cricketer of the Year last year.
Yeah, sure did.
These aren't. They're not.
And I think the game before that, did they play against WA? And I think he got runs against their bowling attack, and it was really, really good as well. Like,
so that
incredible.
That was his second game of the season, and he straight away 202. Let's have a look at their lineup. Cam Gannon. And then Matt Kelly, indeed Cam Green, Hilton Cartwright, Aaron Hardy, like solid attacks. You know, that's more developing, but they've got.
But even so, Matt Kelly, like, Kells, he's taken a serious amount of Sheffield Shield wickets over the last 3 years. Like, it's still a good attack. Like, and you're right, mate. I don't think people speak about it enough, is that Will's gone from batting 3 or 4 to opening the batting and just gone bang. Like, there's 200s. Like, that's a tough thing to do.
Absolutely. And as you pointed out, Matt Kelly, he might not be a household name yet for the WA seamer, but 90 career wickets at under 28. Yep. He's just starting out, really. And he's only just turned 26. So, you know, young insofar as experience or whatever, but he's just taken a stack of wickets. So, you know,
sure has.
I don't think there is such a thing as a gimme first class double hundred.
No, not at all.
But these certainly, if there is, these are a long way from that. Which, you know, it's highly exciting. I suppose one thing I want to touch on is the first time I heard his name was back in December of 2016. And he was at a cricket carnival, and he hit 4 centuries on the trot.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to find out what sort of cricket that was. It was Vic Under 90s.
That was, I can still remember it because he didn't have a contract yet. I think his first year as an actual contracted player was 2017. So his 2016 year was, I think he had a concussion. And then everyone knew about him because everyone knew he was really good. But he went away with a Vic Under 90, and all of a sudden it was like Will 100. And I remember speaking to him actually before that. He was playing for Melbourne in the 2s and he couldn't get a run. He was really, really struggling to get a run. And his dad said to him, he goes, just go out there and watch the ball and have fun. And that's what he can recall from that series because people ask him about it all the time. 400s on the trot there, and I think he was straight into the next Shield squad.
No doubt. Yeah, well, indeed, made his debut in February of that very next year. This was in late December, and that would have been probably Vic's first game, so they stood up and listened, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a pretty supreme talent, mate. He's always been, I think he's always carried that pressure since he was sort of 13, 14 years old.
Incredible. So I suppose another thing I wanted to discuss with you, albeit briefly, is his penchant for large scores, which obviously speaks to his tremendous levels of concentration and bat fitness. Scored 188 in the 2017-18 Shield season, 243 in the following year, and then two double hundreds this year. Is that something that has punctuated his career from even before then?
Not so much have I ever seen him do that, really. Like, and to be honest with you as well, it's not really a thing that Victorian batsmen are usually known for. It's normally the New South Welsh batsmen. And the thing is that selectors really, really look and it's really favourable for him to see that because, like most cricketers say, you have a lot more bad days than good days. So when you are having a good day, make the most out of it. And I definitely wasn't someone that as soon as you got 100, I was like, bang, that is it. I'm opening the gate here and going to swing. But he's pretty good, like how he gets such big runs. But I genuinely think it is because normally in New South Wales, in junior cricket, they only have to they retire on 100 is where in Victoria, at younger age groups, we have to retire at 25 and then 50. So,
oh, wow.
I've always had the theory that batters in Victoria probably don't know at a young age how to score hundreds just because when like they're not allowed to. So I guess it makes a little bit of sense, but he's a bit of an outlier, isn't he? Like, there's not really many Victorian batters that you look and go, geez, he scored a big 200 there, like him.
That's a fair point, actually, when you put it in those terms. And I think to call back upon what you said, you know, there are a lot of tough days in cricket, especially in the beating Australian sun. So when you are in and when you are on, you want to fill your boots. And he continues to fill his boots with larger and larger sets of scores, which is exciting. I suppose, so we've kind of delved into how he's risen and you know, the fact that he's been scoring consistently. We've also dealt with the misfortune of all of those concussions, some of which are, you know, from taking a dive when running between the wickets.
Crazy
stuff. But I suppose on to brighter things and to future things, does he make your 11 as opener in the first test against India shortly?
I've always been a big advocate on if you perform like we said before about Chris Green in the episode beforehand, is that if you're going well enough, you're young, like you're good enough sort of thing. So I just think, why wouldn't you get a bloke in that's scored so many double hundreds who's just come off two 200 runs? Like, it's pretty amazing. I found it, to be honest with you, I found it quite amazing how it's been such a kind of conversation. Like, Joe Burns can't get a run at the moment. Why is he even in the conversation? I just don't understand it.
I tend to agree. Look, I absolutely love Burnsy. I affectionately call him Boo Earns as a Simpsons reference. And look, he's he turns 32 in September of next year. So he's not an old man. We spoke about Wader before. He's 33 on Boxing Day, and we still think he's a valid option. But let's have a look. Like, Burns got 4 and Quack in that Indian tour match just completed. And I'm just trying to find his shield numbers for this year. I think it's something
I don't think they'll flash.
No, let's have a look. 57 runs in 5 bats at 11.4.
See,
so
like,
put them together and what do you got? You got 61 runs in 7 bats at an average of under 9.
I don't know about you, Dane, but I just think that if a bloke is just a 22-year-old is just setting a light that this comp, why is it? And the other thing I don't understand as well is, I'd like to get your opinion on here, is that why did the selectors give Warner the option?
that
blows my mind. Like, hold on a minute. Like, he's getting selected. Yeah, he's been going all right, but why are you telling an opening batter he can bat with kind of whoever he wants? That just doesn't make sense to me.
It's an odd precedent. And I suppose, look, Warner is a senior player and he's obviously exceptional test opener at home, but it seems like I've never heard of that happening before.
I know. And he's not even captain. So it just makes it even more strange.
It was very peculiar. And I think the public nature of it as well is a little bit odd and a little bit unsettling. It's, you know, for Bukowski's confidence, and I'm sure level-headed young man that he is, he's found a way to sort of process that. But not only is the approach strange, but to publicize it's weird. And I know that there's a bit of a bromance between Warner and Burns, and they have a good record together. I think they regularly reach 50 without loss and all that. But that was very strange.
That was when Burns was averaging 40 or 50, not 9.
Well, exactly. I suppose. So let's cut away all of the past. Like, let's look at this season.
Yeah.
Bukowski's averaging a tick under 250. He's the leading run scorer in the Shield, and he's played up to 2 less games, and has batted up to 5 less times than Travis Head, who's right up near the top. It's ridiculous. Wow. And then
I know
you've got Burns, who's scored 61 runs in 7 bats with no not out in the same season. And I suppose to add further spotlight to it, even as a Burns fan, So Burns's test career, 21 tests, 1,379 runs at 38.3, strike rate of a tick under 57, nice and aggressive, 4 tons and 6 50s. But this is where it gets concerning. So last summer, which was a bit of a cakewalk, to be quite honest.
Yeah, definitely.
256 runs in 5 tests at 32, including a 97 in the first innings of the first test versus Pakistan. So I suppose from that point, the next 4 tests of the home summer, he batted 7 times, hit 159 runs at 22 with 1 score of 50 and a strike rate of 40 runs per 100 balls. So the attacking Burns opener and the Burns opener that was putting on regular big partnerships with Warner, like you said, was at least latest and fullest, is a thing of the past. Not so long ago, but indeed the past.
Yeah, definitely. One, I think that I just think it just sets a real bad precedent if you're going to pick a bloke who's averaged 9 in his last 10 hits for future Australian players. Like, you've got a guy that's averaging over 200, and then you've got Cameron Green who's averaging over probably 100 as well. But we aren't speaking about them being locks, but we're speaking about Joe Burns probably playing who's averaging 9. And I'd also like to get your opinion on this one as well. Do you think because Will Pukowski has been going so well for Victoria that Marcus Harris has just been a forgotten prospect?
It's a great point. And look, I'd like to think not forgotten, but somewhere along the lines, his name, with all this Pukowski mayhem, his name seems to have dropped out of the race a little bit. And let's not forget, look
at what he's averaging in Shield Cricket this year. He's averaging 120.
Yeah, 355 runs. At, you know, like you say, tick under 120 with a massive double.
Yeah.
And a 50 and, you know, another start. And, I mean, even in the tour match, I'll just pull up that scorecard. Hit 35 and 25 not out. He would have, I don't know. Test career, 385 runs at 24.
And that's the one. And that's what we were speaking about before, is that he played the first 3 tests or 2 tests or whatever. He got Stuart Broad and James Anderson, the best swing bowlers in the world, with a Duke's ball, overcast conditions coming around the wicket. And I think it just shows how hard that series was, because I think David Warner averaged about 5. So, it was just one of them things where they bowled that well that if you got 50, it was probably worth 150 back in Australia. And I think Harry was just almost like the linchpin of, he didn't do that well in England. Joe Burns played against Pakistan in the Australian summer, and it was a cakewalk, like you said. And I think if the roles were reversed a little bit, Harry would have had the chance to probably score a lot of runs, and then his name would have probably been up in lights now. So it's just right place, right time. It's so funny, isn't it, fate?
It is like that. Because, I mean, Harry's record at home, he's got 6 tests, 327 runs at 32.7, striking at over 50 runs and a couple of 50s in there. So he was on the up and up. And Warner averaged sub 10 for the series, and so too did Harry. But in far less innings and with far less impetus upon his scoring. If we just accept that Smudge and Marnus ultimately dug us out of several deep holes, and they're freaks, which they are, none of our batsmen perform particularly well outside of those two. So I don't want it that Harris's name is off the table. I think that would be nonsense, especially given his efforts this year. And I mean, he walks off the most recently completed tour match against a top-tier Indian team with 60 runs for the match for 1 dismissal. So he's still got to be right in the frame of things.
I agree, mate, but I just haven't seen his name anywhere. Like, even in some of the articles, it's always about who does Warner want to open with, Burns or Pukowski, and that's been the whole thing. And even just looking at Harris's stats there, he's averaging 120 for this year's Shield, He's averaging 60 in that game just completed, and he's got a score of 240. If I'm looking at that and I'm wanting to pick, give the bloke who's performed the best this year, I'd be opening with Harrison and Pekowski, and look at them two. Whenever they've opened up together, the scores have been about none for 400 for the first wicket.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's another cog in the wheel.
Yeah,
they actually have lit it up individually, but also as a pair. So lots of chatter to be had around this. And look, I'm a proud Queenslander, and I'll support the Bulls all the way. And I'm very fond of Burns, but there's too many. There's too many numbers that tell specific tales surrounding this to anyway. So to reference one thing, Langer has basically said, no matter what happens with Warner, or at least to my recollection, Burns will start.
I know.
So
it's incredible. It'd be a different story. You know what? If they backed him in and he went out in that Indian game and got 100 one of the innings, it would have been a different story. And I would have turned around and gone, you know what? They've backed him in. He's done well. He's going in form. But how can I just think it sets such a bad precedent. How on earth you can before a test squad's even announced, how do you come out and say, this bloke's guaranteed his spot. He's been averaging 9 over his last 9 hits. I just think it sets a terrible precedent for players trying to get picked in the Aussie squad.
Especially with the precursor to that being his last 4 home tests against opposition that were pretty horrific. I'm not saying that each team was horrific, that they played horrifically, though. He averaged 22 with 150 and 7 bats. So it's not even that we're ignoring the 61 runs at under 9 this summer because of a barnstorming last test summer. The fact is that he hasn't scored a hell of a lot of runs for a long time in any of the first class formats or test. All right, well, here and now, your heart's saying Pekowski and Harris for first test, but what do you think they'll actually go with?
It is a hard one. My heart, like, would love to see Pekowski and Harris, or even if it wasn't them, I would have liked to have seen Harry's name actually come up a little bit where I didn't see it at all. But I don't know. I just think, obviously, Will's is only a mild concussion, but knowing him and how serious the head knocks he's had, is I saw something today that he has to be symptom-free by tomorrow if he's any chance to play. So I'm honestly going to go out on a whim right now, and this, I might look stupid when some people are listening to this, and this might be after the first test and Pekowski's played, but right now, before the squad's actually named and before his test, I'm going to say he doesn't play. And I'm going to say it's going to have to be Burns, and maybe even, if they don't think about Harris, maybe even Marnus to open.
Right, okay. And look, you know Pekowski, and you know, therefore, the troubles he's had more acutely than most people that would be listening.
That news that the doctor has said he pretty much has to be symptom-free by tomorrow, which is less than a week after that game, and the way that he went down and he got mild concussion is... Yeah, it depends on the news, but from what I've seen so far is that if he has any kind of symptom, because it's such a grey area, he won't play.
Incredible. And that would be a damn shame, and just one of those things that has punctuated his early career as he strives to just score runs. So that would be a devastating blow for Will, but sounds well-informed. And yeah, look, given that, I'll say if indeed he doesn't pass his medical tomorrow, I'll go with Warner Harris then.
Okay, really?
But yeah.
So you don't reckon they'll play Burns?
Sorry, not Warner, Burns Harris.
Burns Harris.
I think that's where they'll end up. They'll probably refer back. So I'd be just as thrilled with Marnus, and I understand why you said that, because Harris's name is seemingly and arbitrarily dropped off the face of the earth, which is
awesome. I think if Will can play, it'll be Will and Burns. But if he can't play, the only reason I say it'll be Burns and Marnus is because of that, what you just said, is that I just have not seen Marcus's name thrown around once. So I don't know. I just don't think he's in the picture. I know that him and JL have a lot of history, and I think they're pretty close. But at the same time, because they've had a lot of history, if JL had any intentions of picking him, his name would have been thrown around.
I see your point. Yeah, that's good deduction. Because, Langer is one for wearing hard on sleeve, and indeed giving little shout-outs like that to spur people on. It's part of his psychology, and it's part of what makes him good, I think, clear channels of communication. So if MS Harris hasn't been spoken of much, that's
maybe
probably
not.
Speaks to that. I'd hate to think that they've drawn a line through his name because of six innings in England against two of England's best ever bowlers in helpful conditions. That would be...
Yep.
That would be crazy, especially since he's come back and belted runs this season. It's going to be interesting to see. I suppose one final sort of hypothetical for you would be, okay, so if, say, Warner's fit and Pekowski passes his medical.
Yep. Let's go second test then. So, because Warner's been withdrawn from the first test, so... Let's go second test then. Warner's back in.
Yep, great. So Hart and Head.
Yep.
Hart wants Puck and Warner. Head, as in my brain, not Travis Head saying this. I think it'll be Warner and Burns back to their thick as thieves bromance in the second test, which does pain me a little bit, I suppose. Just before I go over to your input on that, the one thing you hear over the many, many years of Sheffield Shield cricket about fringe players or players that are rising through the ranks like Pekowski, the selectors always have score hundreds, kick the door off the selectors' hinges. And I fail to see what more Pekowski could have done, especially with the incumbent opener in Burns being so... out of touch, and even to a lesser extent, but not by much, Harris. But anyway, deeds and words. Anyway, over to you. Heart and mind on the second test.
I think I agree with every single point you made there. I think that from what I've seen is you're right. It's almost like a weird bromance in that Warner wants Burns, Langer wants Burns. So I think that's the way they go. And Hart would love to see Pekowski. And again, 100% agree with your other point. Maybe because the selectors keep saying go out there and score hundreds. And maybe because Wills keep scoring 200. They're like, no, we didn't ask for that.
Got you on a technicality, Will. There you go. Look, before we wrap up, the one final point I'd like to run by you is it would be a crying shame for Cricket Australia and all its fans, passionate as we are, to have it that Burns' test career stutters through this summer and he ultimately finds himself out. Come the end of the fourth test or whatever, at the end of that. And then there's no more opportunities for this home summer. And by the time we get through to our next test series, Pekowski's lost a bit of that spark and form, which happens. It goes up and down. And he doesn't settle into test cricket quite how he might have in such form and at home. And that could affect his entire career. I think he's much stronger and better than that. But that does plague my mind because he's, look at what he's done. It's just too much to ignore, surely.
Yeah, and you're right around Burns as well. Is that maybe I'm assuming that they probably spoke to him, but if you've struggled that much this summer, you've said he's nearly 32, I think, and if he struggles the first three or four tests and he gets and he gets dropped, that's his career done. That's his Aussie career done, I think.
Well, it has to be.
It does, doesn't it? And then you're right as well with the Will kind of thing as well, is that if he plays, if he doesn't play, and he's got to fail soon. Like, he failed in that first game, but then he was 30 not out again and going all right. If he doesn't play, does that knock his confidence? Or I just don't know. There's just so many negotiables around it and variables, is that I think it would have been so much better for his confidence if, and I don't know why this didn't happen, for Cricket Australia, for David Warner and for Justin Langer to come out and say, this kid, Will Bukowski, is a genuine freak. He's just come off 2 200s. He is in. He's a lock. And good luck to the Indians to get him out. I think if they came out with that mentality, and that would have filled Will's boots with confidence, he would have been settled and known what he was going to be doing for the summer. Why? I just don't understand why they didn't come out like that. Why? Like, a bloke has just scored 200s on, 2 200s on the trot. Let him, because then he walked out into that practice game last week and thought, I've got to get runs here to get into the squad.
I know, yeah. And it's at the back of his mind would be like, well, what are you talking about? I've already got the runs.
What else can I do?
In sort of even distant memory, I can't remember anyone scoring this prevalently at the start of a season, and certainly not at this age. It's nothing.
But yeah, it blows your mind, doesn't it? Like, literally, like, I think that's a great point as well, Dane, is what does he now think? I've just scored that many runs and I'm still not a lock. What do I need to do?
Yeah. Is it triples that they need? Like,
maybe he's got to be a spinner. I don't know. Maybe he's going to start taking fifers or, like, taking six catches a game. I don't know. Then he's still not going to get picked.
I know. Maybe have better anecdotes in the dressing room. I don't know, mate. That's nothing against him. It's obviously just about, like, Burns is a popular character. He's an interesting cat. And look, I love him dearly, but he's not done enough. It's as simple as that. He hasn't done enough in recent test history, and he's certainly not done enough in recent first class history. And that's from someone that is very fond of him, and Will Bukowski. I think we both agree he should absolutely be playing so long as he's fit and irrespective of who else is fit.
Well, the last one for you then, mate, is give me, let's say Will doesn't play, Warner's obviously not playing first test. Give me your first six batters.
Okay then. Opening bats, Joe Burns and Marcus Harris.
Yeah.
I've got Marnus at 3, Smudge at 4. Then I've got... Well, I would have Cam Green at 5 and Travie Head at 6, but I think they'll flip them to, and that would be my top 6. And likewise for you, how would you do your top 6, or what would you like to see top 6? Oh,
my head says yours, just with Cameron Green and Trav Head swapped around. So I think my head feels like it'll be... My heart feels, I mean, is your one, Harris and Burns, and then Marnus, Steve Smith, Head and Cameron Green. But what I've got a feeling they may do is, I saw an article the other week saying that if worst comes to worst, Marnus can open because he's done it before. So they might, and then maybe even Queensland pair, that they might even go Burns, Labuschagne, Smith, and then maybe go Head, Wade and Cameron Green. I don't know. It just depends around if Marcus Harris is around the conversation soon or not.
Mate, now that you mention it, if indeed we do lose Warner, they may well want to... Well, they'll be thinking, well, we don't therefore also want to drop one of the previous locks in Wade or Head.
Yeah.
So we'll fashion an opener, and that'll give us an opportunity to pick Green.
Do they even open Matty Wade?
Well, I reckon do that. If they keep Marnus and Smudge where they are, because they've been more successful than Wade has, no matter where Wade's batting. And let the little terrier loose at the top of the order. That'd be pretty cool, actually. If we accept that Harris's name is dropped out of the running, which now that you mention it, it seemingly has.
Well, yeah, I don't know about you. I just haven't seen it anywhere. I haven't seen any articles. I haven't heard about it. Radio station, nothing. So, and Mark Waugh actually said on the Big Bash the other night, do they open Matty Wade in the test matches? And that was the first
Yeah,
time I
right.
thought, okay, maybe.
Okay,
Like, I
so
don't
it's
know.
doing the rounds, that
It is a little
theory.
bit. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fascinating because the first two episodes we've done have dealt with rising stars and also some helpful congestion around who makes the top six, but also some confusing stuff, particularly at the top of the order.
Yep.
But it's going to be interesting either way. And as we said with the Cam Green episode, by all means, let us know your thoughts. Who makes your top six? And I suppose deal with that hypothetical of if indeed Pekowski and Warner were fit for this first test, or indeed the second test example that Guy put forth, who opens for you then out of Puck, Warner, and Burns? All right, well, I think we've covered a lot there on the puck
Yep.
and also the current sort of structure of the lineup. So thanks again for your time, mate, and we'll see you in the
Always
next
a
one.
pleasure. I'll see you in the next one, mate. Pleasure.
Very good, mate. Thanks so much.